السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: حجبت النار بالشهوات وحجبت الجنة بالمكاره، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif which was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls and quotes the words of Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabiina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, in which he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very great Nabi. He was amongst the senior Anbiya. He is also from amongst the forefathers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had made great sacrifices in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had passed the intense tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Dhul Hijjah just passed recently. The entire activity of Qurbani is actually a recollection of the great sacrifice and the submission of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed them and commanded that he sacrifice his beloved son. If'al ma tu'mar, the obedience and the submission of the son, that Ya Allah, if it is your command that I must sacrifice my son, then most certainly I will do so. And the son too said, if that is the command of Allah, then I must be sacrificed, then you need to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ, that indeed this was a severe test. One is, the student writes the exam paper, and the student then says that the exam was very difficult. And on the other hand, you have the examiner, and he says that the paper was very challenging. And the examiner says the paper was challenging, then indeed we can say the paper was really difficult. So here Allah says that we really tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he passed that test. The test of submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total obedience to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a great Nabi he was. Despite his greatness, despite his lofty rank, and this is one glaring feature in the life of every Nabi, in the life of every Sahabi: humility. Total humility. Total fana'iyah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she states that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand up in tahajjud salah, hatta tawarramat qadamahu, to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak feet would become swollen. Being the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you exerting yourself to this extent? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. When Allah Ta'ala has forgiven your sins, you are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why are you exerting yourself to this extent? What was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And in the response, one can clearly see the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. When Allah has been so kind to me, when Allah has been so merciful to me, when Allah has selected me to that extent, should I not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should I not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then furthermore, the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Makkatul Mukarrama, the motherland of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He grew up in Makkatul Mukarrama, great attachment for Makkatul Mukarrama, tortured in Makkatul Mukarrama, mocked in Makkatul Mukarrama, jeered in Makkatul Mukarrama, insulted in Makkatul Mukarrama. That very family, whom he had hoped would be a pillar of support for him, when he called them towards the worship of one Allah, that same family completely rejected him. تَبَّنْ لَكْ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا Abu Lahab, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, may you be destroyed. Is this why you gathered us here? Is this why you gathered us to call us to this? Insulted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of his entire family. Can we just picture this scenario? Then the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah al-Mukarrama, many, many incidents. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking. A woman takes ash and throws it from the top of her building, her little home, onto the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we imagine, would we ever tolerate somebody throwing ash on our father, on our son, on our family member? How infuriating it is. But this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. This is the kind of sacrifices he went through. Until eventually, with the command of Allah Ta'ala, he had to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah to such an extent that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, he addressed Makkah Sharif and he said, oh Makkah, I dearly love you. And had it not been for my people, I would never have left you. I would never have abandoned you. But then he left Makkah al-Mukarramah, went to Madinah al-Munawwara, suffering, difficulty, trials, tribulations, poverty, hunger. Until Allah Ta'ala raised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the level where now Allah Ta'ala spread the deen of Islam. More and more tribes started accepting Islam. Until eventually, with the command of Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now marches towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. He marches towards Makkah al-Mukarramah as a conqueror, victorious. What a climax in a person's life. Those same people who were once abusing you, who were once torturing you, now you have the upper hand. And normally what would happen to people like myself, if we have the upper hand over the person who has been harsh or hard to us, now this is the occasion to take revenge. This is the occasion to prove your point. Now I will show you what I'll do to you. Allahu Akbar. It is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah on his conveyance to such an extent that his beard was touching the saddle of the animal. Tears were rolling down his eyes, thanking Allah for this occasion. Look at the humility. Look at the humbleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will find this in every single Nabi. Same is the case of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Despite the fact that he was so accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ Oh Allah, do not humiliate me, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ The day of Qiyamah is that day when neither will one's wealth and neither will one's children be of any assistance in a way. A person in this world normally, he uses his wealth as a tool to get him out of a difficult situation. A person has children, grandchildren, he uses them to support him, to help him, to resolve certain issues, to be of assistance. On the day of Qiyamah, this will be of no assistance. Yes, that individual who used his wealth and invested his wealth in the Akhirah, the person who used his wealth and donated it to the madrasa, the masjid, to the work of deen, he spent on the widows, on the orphans, on the needy. And that person, all that he did was he transferred his wealth into from this world into the currency of the Akhirah. Like our person is traveling from one village or one country to another country. So he takes out dollars, transfers his rands into dollars. So perhaps he won't be able to use the dollars here. But when he goes to the next country, now the dollars becomes of great assistance. So he transferred his wealth, his rands into dollars. In the same way, the person who invests in a madrasa, in a masjid, in some deedi work, then that person, all he has done, he has taken his money and he has transferred it into the currency of the akhirat. When he will go there, he will see the fruits of that benefit. So he said, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On the day of Qiyamah, neither will one's wealth nor will one's children be of any assistance in a way. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except that individual who comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a qalb salim, with a heart which is pure. Now what is the meaning of qalb salim? Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi, in his tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, a great mufassir of Baghdad, celebrated work of tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, he has given five commentaries with regards to qalb salim. We can use this in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and analyze our hearts. A person in this world, he now and again will go to the doctor and say, just do a general checkup, just see the condition of my health. Because we are all concerned, we know that if our health is not up to standard, then we could get some complication, the heart could become an issue, we could have some other problems. So we make sure we do a regular, periodic, full checkup to see that our health is all in order. In the same way, we need to ensure that our spiritual heart is in order. You see, respected elders and brothers, it is very easy for me to put on a white kurta, a white topi, white socks. That is easy to do. It is easy for a person to grow the beard. But for a person to make the heart white, respected elders and brothers, sometimes takes many, many years. And this is something that we need to realize. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we should make an effort to improve our external self and to ensure that our external self is in conformance to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One brother phoned and said, Morana, but the kurta is just, you know, it's sunnah, it's not for us. So the response that we gave, but every sunnah is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you are really an ashik of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all claim to be lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every mu'min and Muslim says that he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But yes, there is degrees of love. When a person really is passionately loves someone, we see the youngsters, we see the youth, they love a certain pop star, a certain singer, they love a certain footballer. They want to be like him. They want to dress like him. Their hairstyle must be the same. Why? They say, that is my role model. I love him. I want to be like him. If we really, respected elders and brothers, have true ishq for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then as it is said in Arabic, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَن يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. That the lover, as far as his beloved concerns, he wants to be just like him. He wants to emulate him. He wants to walk like him. He wants to talk like him. Respected elders and brothers, if we really love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should also make an effort to implement the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dress code of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the style of speech of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. Then, respected elders and brothers, we are now perfecting our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will not say that a person who does not adopt the external ways of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not love. But what we will say is that if we will implement it, then inshallah we will be perfecting our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So respected elders and brothers, this ishq and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the demand of the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mean that we emulate the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it doesn't stop there, respected elders and brothers. The purification of the heart, purifying our hearts of the maladies of jealousy, of pride, of arrogance, this is also a great way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as far as the purification of the heart is concerned, it requires tremendous effort. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala, ala, wa inna fil jasad lamudgha, idha saluhat saluha al jasad kulluhu, wa idha fasadat fasada al jasad kulluhu, ala wa hiya al qalb." Listen very carefully. In Arabic, Allah is regarded as Huruf al-Tanbih. In Urdu, you will translate it as Hama Tanbosh Hokar Suna. Listen very attentively. Dil se suno. Listen very, very carefully. That in the body there is a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is in a good condition, the entire body will be in a good condition. And if that piece of flesh is corrupt, the entire body will be corrupt. There will be corrupt actions that will come out of that body. That person will become abusive. That person will become vulgar. That person will become temperamental. That person will become inconsiderate. Why? Because within his heart, that inconsiderate nature is there. Within his heart, he's abusive. Within his heart, he's got pride. Now when the wife says something to him, because the pride is there, so now that pride now starts, you know, firing up. The person who's got anger problems, and anger is born out of pride. So now if somebody said something to him, which he doesn't agree with, now he needs to retaliate, he needs to take revenge. Sometimes he cannot take revenge in words, so in some other way he now takes revenge. This is all a sign, respected elders and brothers, of a corrupt heart. So Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that what are the signs of a qalb-e saleem, of a pure heart? How will we know that a person's heart is clean and pure? One of the, amongst the five tafsir that has been given, the first one is that الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبَرِ. That person who spends his wealth in good causes. You look at the person spending, as far as his surplus wealth is concerned, he spends it in good causes. He's spending the money on the work of Da'wah in Tabligh. He's spending his money on the masjids. He's spending his money on the madaris. He's spending his money on the widows and the orphans. He's spending his money on the, you know, the people who are refugees. He's spending his money in good causes. He's spending his money on his own family, provided it's not extravagance. Then we will say that this is a sign that the person's heart is clean. And on the other hand, that person who's spending his money on casinos, he's spending his money on clubs and discos, he's spending his money on movies and these kind of things, he's spending his money on filth within his home, on all these kind of haram things that take place, then respected Allah's mercy, this is a sign that there is some weakness and some deficiency within that heart. There are a few arteries clogged as far as that spiritual heart is concerned. Like in this world, the physical heart also becomes clogged. Sometimes a person says one artery is blocked, sometimes two arteries are blocked, sometimes three, four arteries are blocked. Now they need to do a bypass, they need to put a stent, something needs to be done, we need to unclog that heart, otherwise the entire body will suffer. In the same way, respected Alison, these are signs. And if a person is using his wealth in haram, then this is a sign that the heart is corrupt. Therefore, respected Alison, let us watch our spending. Spend the wealth in halal way. Spend it on worthy causes. Spend it on our children and our family, on educating them. Educating them and sending them to the madrasa. This is extremely essential and crucial. Sometimes, respected elders and brothers, so much of emphasis is placed on secular education, and in the process, deeni education is sacrificed. And I'll end on this note, time has expired, that one particular person, he sent his son to study in India. He was in India, so he sent his study to study in England, Oxford University. When suddenly the father became very ill, so the son came to see his father. Father was in the last moments, he passed away. At the qabr, now, while standing there, all the family members came, they were all reading. The son was sitting quietly. After a while, the son started saying, "Oh, my father, you sent me and you gave me education, but today I'm standing at your grave and I do not even know how to read for you. I do not even know how to read for you." So respected elders and brothers, let us invest in our children too, spend our money correctly. The time has expired. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us all with a qalb-e saleem, a clean heart, so that on the day of Qiyamah, a person can face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an amicable manner. Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist those who are refugees in Syria and in Bangladesh. And Allah ta'ala restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.